All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, January 21st of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have an 8-game NHL main slate. We also have a 5-game NBA main slate, and then for those of you playing PGA, PGA will tee off early tomorrow morning, so I'm pretty sure everybody will be getting in their PGA lineups tonight. So should be a fun day of DFS here. For those of you who are new, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim, and this is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. We do have some questions queued up here from the Discord. So we will start with those and then just keep answering questions as they roll in. So going to get SaberSim up on the screen. Got tonight's NBA main slate up here. Why don't we refresh projections? And then, you know what? While we introduce the first question of the night here. Hard refresh, always a good idea. All right, projections are back. Let's kick off some lineups while we read off the first question here. So first question, are the same people that SaberSim hired to do NBA projections going to be working on MLB and other sports also? Good question here. I do not believe so. You know, part of it is that the people that are doing this specialize in NBA. I actually don't know if they specialize in other sports or not. I'm not sure if we're going to have, you know, analysts for other sports. All of our models are a little bit different and work a little bit different. And we thought that, you know, having the analysts would be a boost for NBA. I don't know if we feel the same way about other sports like MLB, NFL, et cetera here. So as of right now, analysts are only for NBA. I don't know if that's going to change going forward. But if it does, we'll obviously communicate that to everybody and let you guys know about it. All right, so we kicked off some lineups here. Why don't we set up a contest sim and run a contest sim while we wait here? So let's go do the and one, $1.20 max. Looks like it's a pretty good contest to play tonight. So I'm going to go back to my build. Try refresh one more time. Contest sim button is green. Going to click that. Boom. Contest sim is running. All right. Second question. When the projections are ran, do they take into account if a player gets ejected or gets into foul trouble, and how do the projections differ when that happens? Good question. I do not believe we take into account ejections specifically here. However, we do take into account fouls. Fouls are something that are in the sims. And it works kind of like how a game works, right? It's like, hey, when this player, you know, gets two fouls in the first quarter, who comes in for them, right? So there's always kind of like depth charts, and we understand like the rotations and who's kind of coming in and coming out for each other with the teams. So it basically just leads to the players playing less minutes in those sims, and that can always be, you know, in their range of outcomes, right? You click on any one player here. I'm going to assume this is Kalel Ware. You know, what do his outcomes look like, you know, when he's getting 10 points, when he's scoring below his mean, right? Foul trouble in these sims is 100% possible, right? Or, you know, maybe he's projected for 25 minutes and in these sims, he only plays 20, right? Only plays 18. Foul trouble could definitely be part of those sims. So typically foul trouble leads to less minutes for that player, more minutes for other players on the court. And then it all gets worked into you know, who is the best scoring players for your lineup from the Sims that we pulled. And then, you know, if the person got into foul trouble, then like, hey, you know, they probably don't end up in the lineup that we're trying to build. But then we go pull new Sims for lineup two, right? And in that set of lineups, they could have not gotten into foul trouble. So it's just going to depend. All right, next question. Hey, Andrew, can you go over today what the recommended fill method is, autofill or direct fill, and why that is? I've always used direct fill, and I was wondering if that's something I need to change in my process. Thanks. Okay, so good question. Let's talk about this a little bit. So really, direct fill and autofill, let's talk about these two. What happens in autofill, you can do in direct fill if you want to. The big difference is that it takes more time to do it in direct fill. So what direct fill does, right, is it, you know what? It might be easier to do like with an entry file. Just do something super simple here. Let me get us an entry file to work with. Okay, today's NBA. Let's see, 200. All right. So this is honestly all we need. So I just entered like a couple of free contests just to demo this. So we bring in the entry file, right? And let's say that, you know, we're going to set up a manual contest sim for these. And I'm just going to do something super simple. I'll say 25, 20, 25, 20. All right. So I go back to my build. And I'm going to rerun the contest sim with the updated manual contest sim settings that I've set. And we're just going to let this run. One sim done, waiting for the last two. Sim taking a little longer than usual. Can check my settings. No, everything should be fine. I'm surprised it doesn't look like it finished. So let's try it one more time. For some reason it doesn't like my manual contest sims. Not 100% sure. Let's do this. And then let them start these. All right, last try here. Sim is running. So I don't know why he doesn't like these manual ones. If you ever run into a situation like this, best thing you can do is come up to the top right, go to report a problem, let our team know you're experiencing an issue, which is like what the error message says to do. But either way, we can just kind of move forward here. So direct fill versus autofill, right? Notice here I have two contests in autofill. Well, if I go to direct fill, right, and I click this drop down arrow next to save to contests, I also have two contests here, right? So these are the same two contests. Now, the big difference between the two is that with autofill, you don't see your lineups until after you click save, right? So right now, you see my exposures are all zero. Well, then if I switch back to direct fill, it's going to show me my exposures and my lineups before the lineups go into the contest. So before you click save, you get to see it, right? So what autofill is doing is when you click save, it unchecks all the contests, checks the top one, sorts the lineups by the rank by column. In this case, it is target ROI. So it only sorts it by this specific contest ROI, applies any uniques, applies any minimax exposures unless you have these two checkboxes chosen, which it automatically does this for single entries. And then it applies any filters that you have set, etc. And then it puts the lineups into this contest. Now, what it does after that is it unchecks the top contest, goes down to the second contest in the list, and does the same thing. Now, the only thing here to note is that when unique rank is on, it takes the lineups that were used in the top contest out of the available pool. That way, the builder has to use other lineups. If rank is on, then it can use the lineups that were in the first contest in the second one as well, if those lineups grade out well by the rank by option chosen here, okay? So now what that looks like, right, when I click save, it goes through that process in seconds, right? If I wanted to do that in direct fill, I could. So then what I would do is I would go to direct fill. Now, the thing to remember about direct fill is that however many contests are chosen, it is averaging out the ROI between those contests. So if I have two contests chosen and maybe the top one has a 200% ROI, the bottom one has a 100% ROI, it's averaging out the ROI, and the new ROI of this lineup would be 150, which would be the average of the two. Now, in order to not use the average of the two, I would need to uncheck one and only leave one checked, which would be like the first step of autofill, right? So what autofill does is it would check one. When you check one, it does this processing and it's resorting the lineups, and then it's applying any minimax exposures, any filters, any uniques, etc. Allows you to see the lineup. Once you're happy with the lineup, you can click save. That lineup goes into the contest that is checked, and then I can move on to the second contest, lineups resort, and then apply any exposures, adjustments, filters, uniques, and then I can click save. So this process just takes a little bit longer. It does give you the added benefit of seeing the lineups, but the biggest difference is that direct fill will average ROIs across all selected contests, and autofill will never average ROIs across all the contests that are chosen. So you got to figure out which one works best for your process. Part of it could be how many contests you're playing, right? That could be a big question that you have to answer. Like, okay, I'm only playing one contest tonight. Technically, it doesn't matter. And if you're only playing one contest, I would say direct fill is probably better because then you could see those exposures first. So if you're in a time crunch, you know, autofill could be really good, right? Really, really fast. We saw the speed just doing it in seconds there. So those are the things that you want to consider, but there's no wrong or right answer. I've talked to people who like, hey, I only use direct fill. Like, okay, that's fine. And then other people, you know, I only use autofill, right? So me personally, I use autofill just because usually playing a lot of contests. So you just got to figure out what works best for you. All right, good stuff there. Moving on to the next question. Hey, Andrew, I've watched plenty of videos about late swap for NBA. When first creating a late swap tab, it has bullets about include original lineups and a couple others. I've heard you say before to always do that, but have heard from others to say leave it alone and don't click that bullet point. Can you talk/show a little bit about the initial setup when first creating the late swap and what to do for each lock after that. Anything I should do or shouldn't do, maybe. Okay, for sure. So we can definitely talk about late swap. You know, this reminds me, I actually think I missed a question here around late swap. I think it just came in at a awkward time, and I want to make sure that I add it to the queue. Yeah, I did miss one. Cool. So your question reminded me of another question here, which we can add to the list. And it looks like one other question's rolled in, so just queuing these up. All right. But let's talk about this one. So unfortunately, I can't demo a late swap right now because there's like no active slate that I'm playing that's, you know, in progress. But with regards to like the pop-up, right? So basically what happens is, you know, late swap comes, you know, this plus button turns into a green late swap button, and then you get like a pop-up, right? I honestly think you don't need to do anything in that window, right? There are options for you, right? One of them could be group duplicates, right? What group duplicates means is that if you are somebody who wants to play one same lineup in like three single entries, for instance, right? Like you have one lineup in three contests and you want to keep it the same, you would use the group duplicates button. You would toggle it on. So what that would do is make sure that the same lineup gets swapped into all three contests, and that you don't end up with three different lineups across those three single entries, right? So that's what group duplicates does. The second one is always include original lineup and swap. You know, this is mostly for people who want to compare the original lineup to the swap options and see, you know, how the players change, how the metrics change. And it's not something you have to do. So when it is off, right, it does not guarantee that the original lineup will be an option for you, right? Some people are like hand building. Some people are very particular about their original lineup, and they want it to be something that they can still use, right? So the builder isn't automatically going to swap your lineup just for the sake of swapping it. But if the original lineup's players don't grade out well in the new sims that are run, there is a chance that the original lineup will not be an option. Some people don't like that, right? Some people always want the original lineup to be an option for them. So toggling it on in that case makes sense, right? If you leave it off, the original lineup could come up again if those players graded out well, but it could also not come up, right? So the way to identify it is that the original lineup will usually have like a green highlight across it showing you that, hey, this was your original lineup. So again, it's preference. You know, whatever the defaults are, I would say like that's the biggest thing, right? So if it's not on by default, you don't have to toggle it on. If we thought it should be on, we would toggle it on automatically for you. So a lot of these things are optionality, trying to give users, you know, flexibility to do different things that they want to do. But if it's not on by default, I don't think you need to go out of your way to turn it on unless you want to, right? Unless you have a reason to do so. All right. Next question. And then second thing is I just want to touch on this. It says, like after the initial setup, what to do for each lock after that. Once you create your late swap build, you can use the same build the entire night. You don't need to create new late swap builds at each window. So all I would do after creating the original one is I would come in here, you know, let's say like, you know, we do like a swap at 7 p.m. here, Pacific time for the Sixers and the Nuggets. And then I want to do a second late swap for the Wizards and the Lakers. All I would do in between these two games is come in here and click the refresh projections icon once the 7 o'clock game has passed, right? So 7:01, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to refresh the projections. What that does is it tells SaberSim to like check what time it is. That way it will basically lock in those players to not allow them to be put in or out of lineups at that point. And then you can run your next swap from there. So the only thing you need to do in between swap windows is refresh the projections so SaberSim can know that players' games have started and that they need to stay in any lineups that they are already in. All right. Good stuff there. Next question from Adam. I understand we are always seeking positive ROI lineups. However, in looking at contest reviews for sports like golf, MMA, NFL Showdown, to some extent, it seems the top winning lineups are pretty regularly negative ROI. Can you speak further to this? For sure. So, you know, the way I think about this most often is like a poker example. So, you know, if you go into Flashback, right, and you look at any negative ROI lineup, having negative ROI doesn't mean the lineup never cashes, doesn't mean the lineup never wins. It just means that it loses across a 100K sample size more often than it wins, right? So the way I relate this to poker is like in No Limit Texas Hold'em, you know, 2-7 is like the mathematical, like worst hand you could have, right? Just because it has like the least combination of like winning lineups. I mean, winning hands, and it doesn't do good over the long term, right? Doesn't mean you're never going to win with it. Doesn't mean you're not going to get two pair, a one card straight, three of a kind, full house, you know, doesn't mean like none of those things are going to happen. It just means that if you played this hand over and over and over again, chances are over the long term, you're going to end up losing money with it. Negative ROI lineups are the same. Negative 27% ROI. What is the difference between negative 27% and negative 100%, right? Well, a negative 100% lineup never cashes, never wins, right? But negative 27%, it does cash. It does win some percentage of the time. It just doesn't do it over a long period of time, right? So those are the biggest things I think of. You know, ultimately DFS is always going to be a marathon and not a sprint, right? And if you can just focus on playing lineups that do well over time. And, you know, you're in this, you know, playing, you know, days, weeks, months, years, you know, you're going to find yourself on the right side of variance. So everything always goes back to the mean, right? Law of large numbers, all of that. If you, you know, flip a coin 10 times, what are the odds, right? Well, the odds are 50-50. Doesn't mean you're going to get 5-5. You can get 8-2, you can get 7-3. But if you do that coin flip example 1,000 times, if you do that coin flip example 10,000 times, you're going to move closer and closer to 50-50. So the longer you're in it, the closer you're going to get to the mathematical probability of something happening. If you're playing positive sim ROI lineups over a long period of time, well, chances are you're going to end up on the right side of ROI there, right? So that's kind of the goal here, and that is what we suggest our users follow. All right, next question. Can you go over reviewing the late swap tab in terms of the terms requirements met, exceptions, exception to what, and the dropdown for a contest with the entry IDs, ROI chains, etc.? Thanks. Yeah, sure. So I'm just going to talk about these things. So requirements met. So typically what this refers to is like, let's say that you have, you know, a certain amount of exposure or set, or if you have aggregate rules like you know, lineups must have projection greater than X, or if you have you know, there are like a couple different things it could be, but basically what requirements meant is telling you is like, hey, all of the rules you put in, all of the requirements you made to minimax exposures, etc., all of those things, we were able to find lineups that fall within the parameters that you've set. Now, exceptions would be, hey, this lineup doesn't meet your rule or whatever you have, but you know, it is a swap option that we generated because there were no other swap options available for the lineup, right? So we're going to give you like a minimum amount of like swap options there. But that could be a reason to, you know, toggle on always include original, right? If you think about it, you know, that if you're running into issues where your requirements aren't being met and you just want to, you know, roll with your original lineup, whatever, that could be an option, right? So that's what exceptions are. It's where we weren't able to meet something that you had told us you wanted your lineups to look like for some reason. And then the drop down for a contest with entry IDs. So basically like here, you can click this arrow and then you're going to see your lineups, right? And then at the right side of the lineup where the players are listed, it's going to have like a number. And then it's going to tell you that is how many swap options we generated for this lineup. And then you're going to have a second dropdown where you can drop down and see all the different iterations of the original lineup. So, you know, you could have one lineup with Davis here, and then one lineup, you know, that has Giannis, and you can compare them, and then you can scroll over, and then you could see the ROI differences, and you can see the ROI changes, right? So if you don't like this view, if you don't like this like row view, then in late swap, you have the ability to toggle, it'd be like direct fill, toggle detailed mode where the lineup is like popped out like this, or to the row format, right? So it'll be like going from row to detailed view, and then you could see the lineups in the expanded version of it. But those are the things related to late swap. I hope those answer your question. If not, happy to follow up. All right, next question. Looking for a contest review of PGA from this past week on DraftKings. You reviewed my prior lineups. And while I did show a little more profit this past weekend, I'm still seeing a similar issue that you pointed out where in the mini max, I'm submitting over 60 to 70 plus lineups, but winding up with less than five unique lineups. My geo mean was way, way lower than what the formula even dictated and still wound up being duped fairly often. Okay, yeah, we can definitely add you to the contest review show. Next show is going to be on Friday here. So I will, after the show, I will go and do what I need to do to add you to the list for the next build review show. All right, next question from George. Hi, Andrew. I've watched plenty of videos and recently joined SaberSim via one of your partners. What process do you recommend for single entries in small to medium contests? Average 1K, 1.5 pool entries. Note, I usually play one entry, but across different contests, usually small to medium contest pools like the 555 contest on DK or FanDuel. This is for NBA. If that's your cup of tea, then that's your cup of tea. You know what I mean? I'm not going to talk too much on it. We do recommend like a little bit different approach for contest selection, right? Like starting from like lowest entry fee to highest, playing lots of lineups across, you know, an individual slate. If you're like a one lineup player, you know, that's what you want to do. That's totally fine, right? So, you know, we can just like demo an example here. Say I'm building, you know, lineup for tonight. So I'm going to go to my contest tab. Let's say I'm playing the 555, which you mentioned here. So I'm just going to add a contest sim as if I'm playing this contest. I'm actually going to disable all these. Let's turn this off. And I actually messed this up. So I want to change user entries to one here. All right. So then I'm going to upload my file effectively, right? Go to a new build. Something I like to do is bump up minimum salary a little bit here, especially just like playing one lineup, high stakes contest. Probably better to bump minimum salary a little bit, right? Say I have, you know, 5,000 lineups. I like to just put on like a super basic projection filter. That way I don't have to see players that are too low projected. And that's really it, right? Make two small adjustments to projections and click off the build. All right. So normally I would say build as many lineups as your plan allows. I'm going to stop this early just for the demo here. So once the lineups load, kick your contest sim. I don't know if this is going to work or not. I'm going to move some columns around while we wait. So if I'm playing one lineup, I would probably just use direct fill. That way I could see it in advance here. So there's a couple different ways you could do this. You could just, you know, try and find the one lineup you want to play. Like that's totally a fine option. I have a couple suggestions about different ways that you could approach this, right? So I'll talk through those here. But let's let this sim finish. I don't know which one's going to work for. So it did work for the 555. Cool. So that's all we need here, right? Just make sure that your target, your sorting metric auto switches to ROI. It should automatically if you have a file uploaded here. So a couple different ways to do this, right? Now, I can think of about three different ways to do it. Number one is you can just take the top lineup, right? You can just say, hey, I want one lineup. I'm going to look at, you know, the top one here, and I'm just going to be happy taking that one if, you know, I like the players I see, et cetera, here, right? Totally okay to do that. Number two option is to look at a bigger set of lineups. Like, maybe you want to look at, like, the top 10 or even, like, the top 50 and kind of start to narrow down from there, right? So let's say I want to look at the top 50. Well, what am I really looking for? Well, maybe I'm looking at, like, the positive leverage players, right? What players are showing positive leverage, like, most often? And, you know, can I find a lineup with, you know, multiple of them in it, right? So let's say I want to take these, let's say there's like four players with over 20% leverage. You know, is there possibly a lineup with all four of them in it? So James, Westbrook, Poole, Ayton, right? So Ayton, James, Poole, Westbrook, right? And it looks like the top lineup has that, the second lineup does, and then the 43rd. And then, you know, what I could do, right, is I could star these, or I'm sorry, lock them. And then maybe, you know, I just want to consider these lineups. I want to look at them a little bit closer. So then I turn these off. Change lineups down to three. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I want to consider these three lineups. What are the differences? You know, which lineup do I like? Say I want to pick the third lineup, right? Okay, I'm going to unstar the first one. I'll narrow down to this one lineup I want to play, right? That's a totally fine way to do it. Now, so we talked about like taking one lineup. We talked about looking at like a subset of your lineups and then using, you know, exposures and stuff to kind of narrow down to the lineup you want to play and then going from there. And then a third way, which is like a little bit more hands-off, right, is something I'll do is say I want to consider three lineups. And then I want to use my metrics to decide what lineups to play. So then I'll typically turn on projection ROI. And then I want the lineups to be a little bit different, right? I want to find some lineups that are close in like aggregate metrics, but diversified, right? So then I'll start increasing the min uniques. And, you know, I'm waiting for like these metrics to change by like a bit here. So I started at 86% ROI and down to 77. Not that bad, like 10% drop. Projection hasn't changed a bunch. And I'm already at, you know, five uniques. At six uniques, it drops like a little bit more. And then I can just look at what my lineups are, right? Like, okay, I'm looking at three lineups, rank one, rank four, rank six, right? So we're still in like the top 10. And we're, you know, finding lineups that are way, way different from each other, right? So at seven, average projection drops like 3 points. I'd probably go back to six here. Now, let's say I'm comfortable. You know, I don't really have that many opinions about the slate. And I just wanted to find lineups that were diversified. And I'm honestly okay taking any one of them, right? So then what I'll do here is I will just go into my method and change it to unique random. And then I will save this, you know, lineup to the contest I'm playing. I'm like, I'm basically telling the builder, hey, I'm okay with any one of these three lineups. Put whatever one you want into my contest. Some people might think that's crazy. You know, I would never, you know, randomly, you know, pick a lineup that I didn't look at before. But, you know, I'm basing off the metrics, right? The metrics are similar, diversification. I'm okay with any one of these three. And then I click save. So those are like the three ways that I would consider building, you know, a single lineup, right? Is take a top one, look at trends across like a smaller sample and try and narrow down to the lineup that looks the best. Or third would be, you know, use uniques and aggregate metrics to find a set of diversified lineups and then pick any one of them. So those are the three ways I'd be building a single lineup. All right, Brandon said, thanks for the input about lead swap. One quick thing on the original pop-up on the bottom, do you recommend use default or my build one settings? Just curious if I'm hurting myself by using my build. I would say use, if you've made any changes, right? If you've made min salary changes, applied filters, applied rules, curated your player pool, Applied Minimax exposures. You're going to want to probably carry those things over to your next build, right? So I would always recommend changing it from default to build one, for instance. The only reason I would consider not doing that is if, like, for instance, you know, tonight there's three games at lock and then there's a big break, right? Let's say you come back for these night games, but in between the first three games starting and the night game starting, maybe Jokic gets ruled out, right? Well, that's like a huge swing in the slate, right? If you have lineups with him in it, maybe you're going to have issues meeting your minimum salary requirement for the next player that gets put into the lineup, right? Just because he's often so expensive. So in that case, I would leave it at default and like reconsider some of your adjustments. But if nothing changes, right, if some player projections move up and down, but nobody really gets ruled out, players just, you know, have some minor but significant projection changes, then I would leave your build one settings active. So I think moral of the story is keep your settings and stuff unless there is something that happens that like completely, you know, changes the course of the slate. So that's what I would consider when trying to decide which one I want to go with. Brandon said, yes, rules is what I was wanting to use. Thank you. I understand what you're saying about Jokic. Awesome. Perfect. All right. Let's jump back to office hours. And looks like we are caught up there. So I got to put Lil Scrap down for a build review for Friday. I have a note to do that. But other than that, looks like we're all caught up here. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.